Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Dalid, 9 lines from the top, you'll notice a 2 dots. At that point, the Gemara quotes, Chutz mi minchas chote u minchas knos. The Mishnah mentioned that all menachos will be kosher, even though they're done shelo lishma, with the exception of the minchas chote and minchas knos. The minchas chote is a sin offering meal offering, or a sin meal offering, brought based on the need for a korban chatos. In this case, he brings it in the form of a meal offering. And minchas knos is a meal offering brought by the sota, by the woman suspected of immorality. On the outside margin, we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. You see a Roman numeral number 1 and 2 that's featured, and we see that in the Gemara itself, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi, you'll notice a 1, Roman numeral 1 encircled, and further down the page, a number 2. These are Shlavim, stages, Bechipus Mokor, in our search for a source, the minchas chote or minchas knos, which is sota related, psulos shelo lishma, that they're totally invalid, totally unacceptable, if they are brought with an incorrect intention. So the Gemara, bishlamo minchas chote, I can understand the case of a minchas chatos done shelo lishma, chatos karya rachmana. The pasuk refers to the minchas chota using the word chatos. Chatos is characteristic of a korban chatos, an animal offering that's an animal sin offering. And we know that in the case of an animal sin offering, if it's done shelo lishma, as per the first Mishnah in Masechet Zvachim, it is posel. So to the meal offering that's called chatos also will have the same standard. And where do we see in the Torah that the meal offering is called, the minchas chote is called chatos? The pasuk says, lo yosim oleo shemen, v'lo yitein oleo levoino, ki chatos hi. You can see we've dashed, underlined the word chatos to emphasize the point. This pasuk is talking about the meal offering, that a sin meal offering is not to have on it oil, nor to have on it the levona spice either. Elo, minchas knos minolon, from where do we know that the sota meal offering, if done shelo lishma, will be unacceptable? We have an answer. It's a long answer, and we've illustrated this by the encircled tuf to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. That means that the length of the answer is comprised by all of the lines of Gemara opposite this long vertical dashed line. The Tani Tano Kamei de Rav Nachman, a person, expert in Tanaic sources, taught in the presence of Rav Nachman, minchas knos moisra nedava. A minchas knos is a mincha that's brought by the sota if money was set aside for the purchase of this kind of mincha. And by the way, a minchas knos, a sota meal offering, is brought from barley, from seira, which is very unusual in the realm of menachos. Usually they are from chita, from wheat. Nevertheless, if someone had set aside money for the purchase of this meal offering, and there was leftover money, that's the mosra, so it's nedava, means the money is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's used for the purchase of korbanos, for ola korbanos, to be brought when the Mizbeach is experiencing downtime. So this is what the Tana, who said over the source, Tana is a person, in addition to it referring to rabbis from the Tanaic period, it also is a term referring to people who were expert in Tanaic sources. So this source of Minchas Knos, Moisra Nadova, was taught over in the presence of Rav Nachman. Amalei, Rav Nachman says, Shapir Ko Amris, you are saying well. Mazkeres Ovon Ksiv Ba. The term Mazkeres Ovon appears with regard to the Sota meal offering. Ubechatos Ksiv V'oiso Nosan Lochem Loseis Es Ovon Ha'eda. You see, in this pasuk, the term Ovon is used as well in the case of the Chatos. Ma chatos moisro nedava, just like in the case of a chatos, where money is set aside to buy a chatos and money is left over, it's brought as nedava. It's used for the purchase of olos for the downtime of the mizbeach. Af minchas knois moisro nedava. So too, by virtue of this similarity of expression, avon, so too the minchas knois, leftover money, will be for nedava. Kechatos, and we continue the parallel, just like a chatos, ma chatos psula shalolishma, just like a korban chatos is invalid if done shalolishma with an incorrect mindset. Af minchas knos psula shalolishma. So too the sota offering, if done shalolishma, will be invalid. At this point, we're introduced to a new geometric form. You notice the triangle, whose position alters from time to time as you go down the page. This is here and is explained in the outside margin, mivneh, structural note, ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the point facing up, kushios, these represent questions. With the point facing down, tshuvos, answers. Elo me'ata, osham, yehe posel shelo lishmo. If you are learning from a gzereshava using the word avoin, so an osham korban done without correct mindset should also be unfit, and we know that's not true. It says by a korban osham, the pasuk says v'lo yoda v'oshem v'nosa avoinoi. So you see the word avono in the case of the korban osham. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, if avono is reason for rendering something unfit, if done shelo lishmo, the osham also should be posel shelo lishmo de gomar, avon mechatos. Just like a chatos shelo lishmo is unfit, and the word avon appears by a chatos, we see the word avon appears by the osham, it too should be rendered unfit if done shelo lishmo, and we know that's not the case. The Gemara answers, donin avoin me avoin, the ein donin avono me avon. We use the word comparison when it's exactly the same word, and we had that in the case of the minchas kenos compared to the chatas. However, in the case of the osham, and we had written in the pasuk between the lines, just the line above, in order for you to see this, in the case of the osham, the word avono appears, and it's not exactly the same as the word avon, which appears by the chatas. There's an added vav at the end of the osham-related word. The Gemara asks, but what difference does it make in the case of Gzera Shava making? We know that we're not bound to exactness of word. My nafka mina. What difference does it make whether it's exactly the same wording or lettering or not? V'ha tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. There's a teaching here, a source that deals with halachas that pertain to nigei batim. This is a case of tzoras, discoloration that appears on the walls of houses. Now, without getting into too much detail, it should be noted that the issue is dealt with by a kohen on a week by week basis during the initial weeks that the house is under investigation, if you will. And the psukim say there, v'shav ha-kohen, ubo ha-kohen. Zuhi shiva, zuhi bia. From which we learn that the way the kohen deals with the house after a given week, the same thing takes place on a subsequent week. And as a result of the fact that there's a similar idea, namely the approach of the Kohen to the house of the Metzorah and his subsequent departure from it. In one pasuk you see the word Veshova Kohen, another pasuk says Uboha Kohen. It's the same idea, even though you don't have the same words. One is Veshov and one is Ubo. They're clearly different words, but they represent the same idea. We are able to compare the rules of one week to the rules of the other week. we see from this teaching that exactness in wording is of no importance. The issue here is comparing ideas. The ode, and furthermore, if you for some reason are insisting on word exactness, I can provide that too in this case. Ligmar avoinoi avoinoi me avoin deshmias hakol. It's true by an osham you see the word avoinoi. Well, in the case of a chatos deshmias koil, the chatos deshmias koil is a chatos brought in the event that a person swears that he doesn't know a certain piece of testimony, and in fact he does know the testimony. So in such a case where a person lied under oath, he has to bring a chatas. It's called chatas deshmias koil. And in that case, it says, dechtiv im loy yagid v'nosa avoino. So notice, you have the word avono in the case of a chatas as well. So why is it that an osham shelo lishmo is kosher when we know that a chatas shelo lishmo is unacceptable? Ela ki gamri gezeiro shava lemoiser nedavahu de gamri. It's true there's a gzeiro shava, but the role of the gzeiro shava is to tell me the halacha regarding the leftover money, that it's used for the purchase of nedavos. This we mentioned earlier. And it's not to teach me halachas concerning lo lishma. We should point out, by the way, that this little section of Gemara is part of a long answer, which you can see the long answer marking appearing to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. So if the question had been raised regarding Avono, Avono, the Gemara is answering that the whole Gezera Shava is designed to teach me halachas concerning Moiser Nedava, v'chiteimo ein Gezera Shava l'mechza. And if you'll tell me that we don't have partial Gezera Shavas, that means that if there's something to be compared, you compare it all the way. Nevertheless, goli rachmona gabi chatos, the Torah reveals that in the case of chatos alone, the issue of lo lishma renders something invalid. V'shochat oiso lechatos, oiso lishma ksherin shelo lishma psula, avol kol hakotch kol kotchim bein lishma bein shelo lishma ksherin. The word oiso is a limitation expression, which tells me that only in the case of the animal chatos offering does the issue of lishma play a central role, where if it's done with proper intention, it's acceptable. If it's done lo lishma, it's invalid. Whereas all other sacrifices, whether it's lishma, whether it's lo lishma, they are kosher. Well, that having been said, that the original avon, avon gezer shava is not playing any role with regard to the issue of lishma, elo minchas chote u minchas kenos, depsulin shelo lishman menolon. We're back to square one. What will the source be for that which the Mishnah taught that a minchas chote and a minchas kenos done shelo lishma is actually possible, is invalid? But at this point, we don't seem to be learning from the chatos. The Gemara answers. And we have this listed as Roman numeral number 2. This will be then the second stage or the second approach to finding a source for this question. Chatos taimo mai mishum dichtiv bo hi. By the chatos, the reason for lishma being me'akev, for being central and binding, is because you have the word he in the pasuk. The pasuk says, chatos he. Hochi nami, in the case of the minchas chote and the minchas knos, hoksiv bu, he, you have the word he also, which is a limiting type word, indicating that only if it's done lishma will it be acceptable. The Gemara asks, well, Osham Nami, Hoksiv Ba Hu, you have a similar limitation expression by an Osham, and if that be the case, so an Osham Shelo Lishmo should also be invalid, and yet we know that's not the case. The Gemara responds, Hahu, the presence of the word Hu in the case of Osham, La'achar Haktoros Emurin Hu Dichtiv, it appears at a stage in the osham processing, which is after the offering of its innards, kidisanya, as the following brisa points out, And you can see we have a frame around this Tanaic source. Avol osham lo nemar bo hu el liachar haktorah seimurim. The presence of the word hu appears in the context of an osham only after its innards are offered. Hu atzmo shaluk du emur of kosher. And it just so happens that in the case of the korban osham, as is true with regard to other korbanos as well, by the way, that if its innards are not offered at all, that does not affect the kashrus of the korban, the acceptability of the korban. So if you have the word hu in the context of something, of an aspect of the korban, that its entire existence, namely haktoras yimurim, is not binding, so the word hu in such a context will be of no consequence to the issue of lishma. Well, v'yela hu lomali, so what do I need the word hu for at all in the case of the korban osham? Answer, l'chad Rav Huna Amarav. I need it for Rav Huna Amarav's teaching. Osham shenitak l'raya v'shochtoy stam kosher l'shum oyla. If a korban osham is for some reason rendered unfit or unnecessary, and at this point, we're not going to get into any details. Suffice it to say, you have a situation of a korban osham. Let us say, for example, the owner died, leaving an unsacrificed korban osham. The halacha is that it is set out to graze until it develops a blemish, a mum, and the money is used to buy korbanos for the Beis HaMikdash. If you have such a korban osham that was nitak l'raya, that was given over to the shepherd to graze, in anticipation that in the course of time it will develop a mum, let us say before the mum actually appeared, this korban osham that was given over to the ro'eh, to the shepherd to graze, was then brought to the Beis HaMikdash and slaughtered without any specific intention. That's shochto stam. It would be acceptable as a korban ola. In other words, it would be processed as a korban ola. We say as follows, nitak in. If it was given over to grazing, then this halacha applies. Lo nitak loy. Omar kro hu behaf yoso yehe. If, however, the korban osham, whose owner died, but was not given over to the shepherd yet, but was immediately brought to the Beis HaMikdash and shechted stam, it would not be acceptable as an ola. It would still have the osham name attached to it. And that we learn from the word hu, meaning it is an osham and remains an osham, of course, until it's nitak l'ray, until it's given over to grazing. The Gemara continues, but before we continue in the text itself, what we'd like to do is first go over, for the sake of review, the last nose topic heading that you can see in the outside margin, a few lines up from here. You notice we have a nose hemsheikh, meaning the topic that started on the upper part of the page continued here. We have a Roman numeral number 2 that's encircled to draw your attention to the fact that this nosei is explaining the piece of Gemara associated with that number 2. Hamoker de chatos, uminchas chatos, uminchas knos, psulos shelo lishma. The source for their being unfit, if done, shelo lishma, is the word he. HaGemara Dona, the Gemara deals with Loma Eitzel Osham Dechtiv Be Nami Hu Becholzos Kosher Shelo Lishmo. Why, by the case of the Osham, this was the sugya we just finished, that even though there too you have a limitation expression, the word Hu, and nevertheless, the Osham was kosher even if done Shelo Lishmo. What we've demonstrated just now is that you can use the nosei topic headings in our marked Gemaras not only as introductions to sugyas, but also for the purpose of review. Turning now to our new topic, in the outside margin, we have a nosei and mivneh, and also in an indication that this lasts till daf hei amud beis. It's a rather long sugya, if you will. We're going to be using a house marking and indicating Roman numeral 1 through 3. Gimel Deos, three opinions. Rav, Reb Shimon ben Lakish, and Rav Beinyan concerning the matter of a minchas ha'oimer shekomso shelo lishma. The Minchas HaOmer is a meal offering brought on the 16th of Nisan, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. Chol HaMoed meaning the first day of Chol HaMoed in the Doraisa Pesach holiday. In Chutz Laaretz, of course, Tes Zayin Nisan is called the second day of Yom Tov. But in Eretz Yisrael, or from the Torah perspective, Tes Zayin Nisan is the first day of Chol HaMoed. A meal offering is brought, and its purpose is to create a heter, an allowance for the new grains of that particular year to be eaten by the public. So with the offering of the Minchas HaOmer on the 16th of Nisan, it's matir, the new grains that grew that year prior to the 16th of Nisan. You know, all those grains that took root before the 16th of Nisan, with the bringing of the Korban Omer, one will be allowed to eat the new grains. That's called Matir Chodosh. If you have this Minchas Omer, a handful of which was Shekomsa Shelo Lishma, the handful was taken to be brought on the Mizbech, but its taking was done Shelo Lishma with an incorrect mindset. There are three opinions. Rav says it's Psula. Reb Shimon ben Lakish was on Hey Omer Aleph, says it's kosher. Avol ein shur necholin. Though it's an acceptable korban omer, the remaining meal offering after the handful was removed is not to be eaten. Unlike a properly offered korban mincha, the shiurim are eaten by the kohanim. Rava on Hey Omer Bay says kosher v'shur necholin. We have a little he'ora here, a little note. Divrei Rav Ma'asikim es haGemara ad Rosh Hey Omer Aleph. The Gemara will be preoccupied with Rav's halacha until the top of Hey Omer Aleph. In other words, Rav will be occupying a long piece of Gemara. Turning to the Gemara, and before we go on, we should note ahead of time that Rav's presentation here will be characterized by an Aleph and a Beis. Two points. The second point of Rav's halacha we did not emphasize as of yet in our introductory remarks. Let us read the Gemara. Omar Rav, Minchas HaOmer Shekomsa Shelo Lishma, Psula. The Omer offering, whose handful was taken Shelo Lishma with an incorrect mindset, is unfit. Hoyul Ubosa Lahatir Velo Hitira, since it came for the purpose of making the new grains allowed for being matir the chodesh, and since it was done shelo lishma, it's ineffective in its capacity as a matir. Therefore, the whole korban is unfit. V'chein ata omer v'osham nazir v'osham metzora sheshochtan shelo lishmon psulin hoyu lubo lahachshir v'lo hichshiru. The same idea Rav wants to say is by a minchas by an osham Nazir and an Osham Mitzorah, the Nazir at the completion of his Tumah period, in the event that the Osham, that the Nazir became Tamei, if he became Tamei Mace, he brings a Korban Osham at the end of his Tumah period, and that enables him to restart his Nazirus, his 30-day Nazirus counting period, in the case of a Stam Nazir. And if it were done, if the Korban Osham were offered Shelo Lishmo, the Osham Nazir, so since it came to be machshir him, to enable him to restart his counting, and is ineffective because it was done shelo lishma, it is considered posel. The entire korban is rendered invalid, and that would mean that even the meat cannot be eaten. Likewise, with regard to an osham mitzora, if it was shechted shelo lishma, the osham mitzora was also came as a machshir to enable the former Mitzora to partake of sacrificial meat in general. If it were done Shelo Lishma, the Korban is Pasul. And the reason for that is, since its original function hasn't been fulfilled, it came as a Machshir and was ineffective as a Machshir, that renders the entire Korban unfit and it's disposed of. We must say a word about the structure of this sugya, the upcoming sugya. Let us glance at the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. This trapezoid or volcano form will indicate a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. The narrow part facing upwards are kushyos, the narrow part facing downwards, tshuvos. Hagemora mityacheses umakshe al shnei hanukudos shirav aleph and beis benifrad. The Gemara will turn its attention and ask on the two points of Rav, namely point Aleph and point Beis, separately. Koidem al Aleph, v'achakach al Beis, u'mitaretzis. The Gemara will focus its first question on point Aleph of Rav, answer it, and later the Gemara will focus its next question on point Beis of Rav and offer a response. We've also featured the expression, the im isa, listening nami, with a double underline with a design in it. This is nekudas hakushya. This is the represents the heart of the question as we as each one arises. Turning now to the Gemara, noting this is a kasha on point Aleph of Rav. Point Aleph of Rav dealt with the minchas ha'oimer shenikmetzo shalo lishma as being posel. Here we have a Tanaic source, Tanan. You see the Tanaic source in a frame. We've dashed, underlined the word menachos so as to remind you or draw your attention to the fact that we're focusing on the Aleph point of Rav, which was mincha related. So here we have a source that says, Kol ha-menachos shenikmetzu shelo lishmon, all meal offerings whose handful was removed in anticipation of being brought to the Mizbeach for burning, if it was taken, it was the handful was taken with an incorrect mindset, it was done shelo lishma, the mincha is kosher, elo shelo olu l'bayim l'mshum chova. It's an acceptable mincha, which would mean that the balance of the mincha, the remainder, the shirayim, can be eaten, only though the owner has not fulfilled his original vow. His original vow must be made up by bringing another mincha. Chutz mi minchas chote u minchas knos. This rule that the mincha shelo lishmo would be kosher does not apply to the minchas chote and minchas knos. Those two types of mincha, if done shelo lishmo, would be posel. Now, the Gemara focuses on the main point of the question. Ve'im isa, if Rav is correct, that a mincha sa'omer that was nikmetzo shelo lishma is posel, then listening nami, it should have taught in this source, chutz mi mincha sa'omer. It should have taught as well, not only, as it said, chutz minchas chote minchas knos, it should have added, chutz mi mincha sa'omer, likewise. The fact that it doesn't group the Minchas Omer together with the Minchas Chote or Knos seems to indicate contrary to Rav. The Gemara answers. And now this answer has in it three parts to it, and we've indicated it by numbers 1, 2, and 3. Ki Kotoni Bo'o Yochid, the source that featured the Menachos, the rule that we featured in this source focused on menachos that are brought by the individual. Ba'at sibur lo kotani. The source was not concerned with menachos that are brought by the public. It may be true that a minchas ha'omer dan shelo lishma is possible, but that wasn't the concern of the source. The source was focusing on things that come brought by a private individual. Second point, kikatoni ba biglal atzma. The source was featuring menachas that are brought on their own without accompanying animal offerings. Ba biglal zebach lo kotoni. Meal offerings brought together with animals are not featured in this source. In the case of the minchas ha'omer, there's a sheep offering brought along with the omer. And a third point of difference is ki kotoni hanoch shen kavu lehem zman. The source was interested in featuring menachos that are not time or calendar based. Ha kavu lo zman lo kotoni. However, that which is kavu lo zman, for example, the minchas haomer, whose time is fixed in Nisan, the 16th of Nisan, it's not taught because this source was not interested in focusing on time related sacrifices. Omar Mar. Now we turn to the second point of Rav. Some girsos don't include the expression Omar Mar and simply go right to the quote. This is the Beis Din of Rav. The the Oshem Nozir, Oshem Mitzora, that are shechted, that are slaughtered with an incorrect mindset, are totally invalid, since they were originally designed to serve as a machshir. And we explained that her machshir by the case of Nozir was the enablement of restarting the counting of the Nazir's Tahara. The case of the Mitzora, it was a machshir, it enabled him to partake of sacrificial meat. But since it was done shelo lishma, they didn't fulfill their rule of machshir, therefore they are viewed as totally invalid. The Gemara now asks a question focused on halacha beis of Rav. Notice in this source that's in a frame, you can see we've dashed underlined the word zvochim. This is to correspond with the dashed underlining that we did just two lines above this with the regard to Oshem Nozir and Oshem Mitzora. These are animal sacrifice related issues. Tanan, kol hazvochim sheshochtan shelo lishmon ksheirin elo shelo olu labaylulim shemchova chutz mipesach v'chatas. All animal offerings that are slaughtered with an incorrect mindset are considered kosher, they're acceptable, only with the restriction restriction that the original owner doesn't fulfill his requirement and will have to bring a replacement korban, with the exception of a chatas and with pesach and chatas, which are totally invalid. They're not kosher at all. Now, if Rav's teaching is correct, listening nami chutz mi oshem nozir v'oshem mitzora, those two would be examples of korbanos that have done shelo lishma are pasul. The intention of this answer, or let's say the intention of the question is as follows. The source should have said as follows. Chutz mi pesach v'chatos v'osham. We're emphasizing right now an explanation in anticipation of the upcoming Gemara. That even though the Gemara says, Lisni nami chutz mi osher nozer osher mitzora, the intention of this line at this point in the Gemara is saying it should have used the word chutz mi osham. In addition to Pesach v'chatos, it should have said chutz mi osham with the intent relating to the Oshem Nozir and Oshem Mitzora. But the intention of the question is not suggesting let it spell out Chutz Mi Oshem Nozir V'Oshem Mitzora. Simply, it should have said Chutz Mi Oshem as well. The Gemara answers, it didn't say Chutz Mi Oshem Kevon De'ika Oshem Gezelos V'Oshem Me'ilois De'lechapora Asu Lo Psika Lei. Since there are other kinds of Oshem, the Oshem Gezelos and Oshem Milos, which we won't explain why they are brought. Let's just note that there are additional kinds of Oshem Korbanos that are brought not for as a machshir, but rather as atonement for kapora purposes. And those, if brought shelo lishma, are kosher. Therefore, it would have been inaccurate to say chutz mi pesach chatos v'osham as being posel, because there are cases of Osham that are not posel. And therefore, since it's a qualified issue, it could not be taught. And that's what is meant by the expression lo psikole. It's not definitive. And by saying Osham, chutz mi Osham, it's not definitively posel if done shelo lishma. This explanation is clarified or made clear by the Shita Mekubetzis in Os Vov. The Gemara continues, "My shno osham nazir v'osham mitzora debo lahachshiv lochshiru." What is different about the osham nazir and the osham mitzora that, when done shelo lishma, are considered totally posel because they were brought to machshir and they didn't fulfill their role of machshir and therefore are rendered posel? Hani nami the osham gezelos and the osham ilos bol lo chapora v'lo kipru. They were brought for atonement purposes. Since they were done shelo lishma, they don't afford the atonement, and therefore they should also be considered posel if done shelo lishmo. And if that be the case, it could have in fact said chutz mei osham as well. Amar of Yirmiya, matzinu shechilek kosuv bein mechaprin uvein machshirin. We have found a differentiation made between korbanos that are brought as atonement versus korbanos that are brought as machshirim. And in the case of machshirun, the Torah is machmir, is stringent. Mechaprin ispudosu la'achar misa. We find by mechaprin, by atonement type sacrifices, they come even after the owner dies. The yorshim bring that. And therefore, by mechaper, like the oshem gezeilos and oshem ilos, just like they are brought la'achar misa, they are brought, not specifically them, but since mechaprim are brought after misa, it's shayach to say by mechaprim that have done shalo lishma, they'll be kosher. And in the case of an oshem gezeilos and oshem ilos have done shalo lishma, since we find mechaprim coming lachar misa, these, if done shalo lishma, will be kosher. However, machshirin lesbu the osu the achar misa, when it comes to machshir type korbanos that are not for atonement purposes but brought as keys for allowing a subsequent situation to arise, that's a machshir. They do not come after the owner dies. Therefore, if done shelo lishma, they will be unacceptable. And an illustration of this follows in the following Tanaic source. Disnano isha shevio chatosa, a woman who had given birth, and she's obligated to bring a chatos and ola korbanos. If she brought her korban chatos, the chatos by an isha yoledis is considered a machshir. Umeson, the woman died. Yavi yorshin oilosa, the yorshin bring her ola korban. The ola is considered a mechaper in the case of the yoledes, the woman having given birth. Oilosa umesa, if she had brought her korban ola, namely her mechaper offering, and then died, lo yoviu yorshim chatosa, they don't bring her korban chatos. The yoledes korban chatos is a machshir. So we see in this case a stringency with regard to machshirim, the stringency regarding their being brought after misa. Likewise, shelo lishma, we will be machmir in the case of a machshir more so than in the case of a mechaper. We have a long question, and you can see the length of this question indicated by the long question marking the kuf with the volcano symbol to immediate right-hand side of the more, followed by a long dashed vertical line. Maskif lo Rav Yudah ben Rei Rav Shimon ben Pazi. Machshirinami mi les behu da osu la'achar misa. With regard to machshirim, are there those that do not come after the death of the owner? V'hotnan. We have the following Tanaic source, in which we will see an example of a machshir that in fact comes li'achar misa. V'hotnan, hamafrish mo'is l'nezirusa, a person who set aside money for the purchase of sacrifices relating to his nezirus, lo nehenin v'lo mo'alin, one is not allowed rabbinically to benefit from these monies for personal use. However, if one does, he's not in violation of the me'ila prohibition, the prohibition of benefiting from holy items. Mipnei, why is there no me'ila? Mipnei shiru'uyin lavo kulon shlomim. It may be pointed out that a korban shlomim is a type of kochim kalim, and there is no iser me'ila, there's no me'ila violation if one benefits personally from a korban shlomim. Hence, the money that was set aside for the purchase of Nazirus korbanos, since all of the money theoretically could have been used for the shlomim korban, a nozir, it may be pointed out, brings a shlomim, ola, and chatos, three types of sacrifices at the conclusion of his Nazirus. But since, in theory, all of the money could have been used for the purpose of a shlomim, there is no do'raisa me'ila violation if one benefits from these funds. Meis v'hoyu loy mois. Let's say the nozir died, leaving the money. Well, it depends. Stumin, if the money was undefined, in other words, the money was not labeled that this is for the ola and the other, this cash is for the shlomim and this is for the chatos. The money was simply left undefined. Yiplu l'nedava, the money is used to purchase offerings that will be brought as korban ola nedavas for the Beis HaMikdash. Mefurashin, if the money was defined, namely you have three piles of money, one for the Chatos, one for the Olam, one for the Shlamim, so the rules as follows. Demei Chatos, Yoylich Liam HaMelach. The money that was set aside for the Chatos is to be brought to the Dead Sea and not benefited from whatsoever. It's thrown into the sea. Lo nanin v'lo mo'alin. One's not allowed to benefit from it, but if one does, he's not in violation of Me'ilah. Demei Oila, the money that was earmarked for the Ola offering, Yavi Bohen Oila, Umoalin Bohen. That money is fit for bringing a Korban Ola, and if one benefits from that money, he will be in violation of Me'ilah. We might point out, by the case of the Chatos money, there's no Me'ilah, because that's a case of Chatos Shemesu Ba'aleho, and the money is, since the Korban itself is considered posel, it goes lemisa, it's not something that's brought in the first, it's not brought at this point to the Beis HaMikdash, therefore the money is also something that's considered totally posel and out of the realm of Me'ilah. The Korban Ola, on the other hand, since it can be brought as a korban, is used for purchasing a korban, if one benefits from those monies, he will be in violation of Me'ilah. Demei shlomim, yovi bohen shlomim, v'necholim liyom echod, v'ein te'unin lechem. The money that was earmarked for the nazir's shlomim, after the nazir dies, leaving this earmarked cash, the money is used for buying korban shlomim. However, and it's eaten within one day, as opposed to this, a shlomim usually has a two-day eating period, but in the case of the nazir shlomim, it's eaten within one day, and it doesn't, in the case of where the owner dies, the accompanying loaves that are characteristic of an osham, of a shalmei nazir, are not brought in this case. The Gemara points out, "Va'oila u'shlomim de nazir." The role of the Ola and Shlomim that are brought by a Nazir, de machshirim ninhu, they are a machshir. They enable the Nazir to start to take a haircut and to drink wine, which as a Nazir he was restricted from doing. So these are korbanos that are machshir him to start these activities. The ka'asu l'achar misa. So we have an example here of things that are machshirim that do come li'achar misa. This would counter then that which we saw above brought in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Omar Rav Papa, he answers, Hochi Ka'omar Rav Yirmiyah. Notice we have a Roman numeral number 2. This represents a second presentation of Rabbi Yirmiyah. In other words, we had a Roman numeral number 1 by the first presentation of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and this is now, let's say, redefined. Thusly, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, "Lo motzinu hechsher kavua debo liachar misa." We haven't found a hechsher kavua means something that is brought as a hechsher where every element of it is binding. Hechsher like that, where every element is binding, we don't find it coming la'achar misa. Ude nazir, however, with the case of a nazir, hechsher she'eino kavua hu. We said in the case of a nazir, he has an ola and a shlomim that function as a hechsher. But in that case, not all of the elements are binding. And the Gemara explains at the top of Daf Hey, the Omar Mar, Gileach al echos meshlosh don yotza. If the nazir brought one of his three sacrifices, that is sufficient for allowing him to take his haircut. So that we see, still there is a difference between machshirim and achaprim. Machshirim that are kavuin, they do not come liachar misa, whereas mechaprim do come li'achar misa. And that was illustrated before in the case of the Yoledes. Meisvei, we have the following source that will be brought as a question on Rav. Let's not forget that this sugya began with Rav on the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. And he had said, he had made two points. We're going to be challenging that which he said in point Beis, that an Osham Nozir, Osham Mitzurah that are done Shelo Lishma are puzzle. Look what it says in the following source. Osham Mitzurah Shenishchat Sheloi Lishmoi Oy Sheloi Nitan Midomoi Agabi Bahoinois Hare Ze Oilo Lagabi Mizbeach. We are describing here an Osham Mitzurah that was done Shelo Lishma, which is the same case that Rav in his Beis Halacha addressed. And it says here, if it was done Shelo Lishmo, or the blood was not applied on the thumbs of the Mitzorah, which is what is supposed to be done. Nevertheless, it's Oilu Lagabi Mizbeach. It does go on the Mizbeach. The blood is sprinkled, the innards are offered, the Ta'un Nesachim, and it requires the accompanying wine offering, the Tzorech Osham Acher Lahachshiro. But the Mitzorah will have to bring another Osham in order to machshir him, in order to enable him to partake of kochim. But what's important here is what we've dashed underlined. You see an osham that's done shelo lishmo. It says it's oila agabi mizbeach tiyufta de rav. This repudiates rav. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.